The reading today is Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory.
Thank you, Lynn. There's been a piece of humor, there's a lot of humor on the internet, for some time about a young polar bear cub. He approached his mother one day and asked, "Mom, am I a polar bear?" "Of course you are, son," she replied with a smile. "Okay," said the young cub and padded off. Later he found his dad out on an iceberg. He said, "Dad, am I a polar bear?" He said, "Sure you are, son," and wondering why his son would ask such a silly question. The next day the cub asked the question again and again. "Are you and Mom polar bears?" "You are?" "Well, then, does that make me a polar bear, 100% pure polar bear?" Finally, his parents couldn't stand it any longer and said, "Son, you're driving us crazy with this question. You are a polar bear. Why do you keep asking if you're a polar bear?" And he just looked up at them and confessed, "Mom and Dad, I'm freezing." Yes, even polar bears can get cold sometimes. A writer named Paul Lee tells that story, and then he adds these important words. "Sometimes I go to my Heavenly Father, and I say, 'Father, am I really your child? Am I really a Christian? Are you really my Father?' Because sometimes I doubt it, sometimes I don't feel like it, and very often I do not act like it. And I'm not sure I'm the kind of person you would want to call your child. And sometimes things don't go well for me, and I have pain, and I have anger and disappointments. Is that okay for one of your children? And though I can't see it, I can feel it. The warm hug, the reassuring smile, the affirmation of sonship. I don't have to be perfect. I'm not expected to never feel pain, never to worry at all, or never to care about things. But I am expected to know whose I am and that I belong to the Heavenly Father. And that for whatever extravagant, outrageous reason, I have been loved. I have been adopted into the family of God. I have been called into a relationship with you, my Heavenly Father. Our lesson from Ephesians begins like this. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in the sight. In love," this is a different version, "he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will." One says determined, one says predestined. Friends, let me put your minds at rest. You are a genuine son or daughter of God if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God has adopted you into his heavenly family, and you and I are children of God. I know we don't always feel like it, and sometimes we wonder, but we are. Our lesson says we were chosen before the creation of the world. That's a powerful statement to me. What an awe-inspiring thought. We were chosen before the creation of the world to be God's children. A piece of humor, children's humor, talks about how we got our belly buttons. It says, as we were coming down the conveyor belt in heaven, God used his index finger and he said, I'll take that one and that one and that one. So I just want to tell you this morning, if you have a belly button, you are a child of God. I'm going to check as soon as I get home just to make sure. But I know we might protest and say, well, Pastor, everybody has belly buttons. Does that mean that everybody in the world is chosen? Be honest, I don't know, but maybe we just have the good fortune of knowing that we are chosen. You protest again, but don't some Christians believe in predestination? And we're Presbyterians. That's part of our theology. The idea that some people are chosen while others are not. But I'm not going to get drawn into that discussion this morning. However, I will tell one of my favorite stories on the theme. I think I shared this many years ago. Years ago, two ministers agreed to swap the pulpit one Sunday morning as a sign of ecumenical goodwill. Each preacher would preach in the other one's pulpit. And I've done this myself. I preached at Bethlehem Lutheran one Sunday, and that pastor came over here, and we used to do that. Not doing it right now, but now the date was 1850, and the place Boston, Massachusetts. So one of the great preachers of the day, Lyman Beecher, the best known of Boston's great preachers during this period. The other was a neighboring Presbyterian minister who believed strongly in predestination, an idea which Beecher could not accept. That Sunday morning, each man set out for the other's church a block or two away to keep their appointment to preach in this pulpit exchange. They met on the sidewalk and halfway between the churches and stopped to exchange, pleasant greetings. The Presbyterian minister said, Dr. Beecher, I just want to call your attention to the fact that before God created the world, before he set the stars in motion, he arranged that you and I would exchange pulpits. I would preach in your pulpit and you would preach in my pulpit. Lyman Beecher said, is that so? Glaring at his Presbyterian Calvinist friend. Then I won't do it. And with that, he turned and walked away and went back to his church and preached in his pulpit that morning. Of course, maybe that's what God had planned all along. Who knows? We'll leave that question of whether everyone is chosen by God to another time. The most important thing I want you to know this morning is that you have been chosen. You are a child of God, not because you are better than anyone else, because we're not. None of us act like God's children all the time, not a single one of us, and that's the meaning of grace. But somehow in the providence of God, before the creation of the world, we were chosen. But what were we chosen for? Why did he choose us to be his children? Paul tells us we were chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in God's sight. You kind of got to say, oops here. I knew there would be some kind of a catch. Always a catch. Chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Last thing I want to do today is make you feel guilty to talk too much about being holy and blameless, because when we have a tendency to do that sometimes, it makes us feel guilty and it actually beats us down instead of raising us up. But think through this for a minute. Why do you think God created, not the world's, but why did God create you you, a specific you. From the teaching of Jesus, I believe God created us to be happy. He created us to be healthy, to be whole human beings, and to show others what it is like to be a Christian and have a sense of joy and know that you are redeemed. God created us for healthy relationships with other people and for a relationship with Him. The God of the universe wants to be in relationship with you. God created us to be happy and healthy and to be all that we can be, to be the best that we can be. And isn't that what you would hope for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your relatives, for your friends, for your neighbors? And I ask you this morning, are you happy and healthy, and are you all that you can be? Maybe from time to time you come up a little short. I know I do. And that's all right. Even polar bears get cold. But that's what God wants us to do, to be happy and healthy and spiritual. A man named Ken Lender wrote a book titled Crunch Time. In it, he tells about his father, a man who had an enormous influence on him and how he lived his life. He said ever since he can remember, his dad cherished his physical health. Without reason, with great discipline, the father exercised regularly. Whether it was walking an hour each day or going swimming or ice skating, doing something to keep moving. And through the years, Ken watched his dad walk in the rain and the snow just to keep himself fit. By valuing his health, his dad, at the age of 97, was able to continue working 3 days a week. He continued to be sharp and fit and had a great zest for life and derived the most out of his life, trying to live that abundant life. His dad missed only 3 or 4 days of work over that last 27 years of working. And while genetics no doubt played a significant role in his good health and his longevity, his high value regard for physical well-being through the years were also major factors in his celebration of healthy and vital living. God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be happy. Ultimately, the road to happiness is paved with good habits. Life is a matter of making good choices. We say it to our children, make a good choice. And we all know that's true. Now contrast Ken's dad's life with the life of a man who's a legend in country music, George Jones. Jones was a country music icon from the old school. Now we could, you know, have new country and old country. A lot of songs were stereotypical of cheating and of drinking. And the fact that George Jones had a drinking problem was no secret to anyone. But on March 6, 1999, country music fans were horrified to hear that George Jones ran his Lexus and was critically injured when he crashed into a bridge in Nashville, Tennessee. The investigation showed that George had been drunk at the wheel. Thankfully, he recovered and he kept performing until his death just a few years ago. But 2 months after his accident, he wrote and released a new album entitled Cold Hard Truth. Came out on the hit song that was on it, was titled Choices. Ironically, the hook line of the song went like this: I'm living and dying with the choices I made. And we all do, don't we? Life is a matter every day of making choices. What are you going to do today? And that's true of all of life. The power to choose is one of the most precious gifts that God has given to us. Arthur Michael Halen tells about an elderly woman who calls Miss S. He says that Miss S had lived alone for many years and had gotten out only with the help of a wheelchair. Every Sunday, she wheeled herself into the side of the sanctuary of the church, which didn't have any handicap access, and she worshiped there very enthusiastically every week. She always seemed to be up, and people smiled when they were around her. One evening, Miss S. spoke to the youth of the church and was asked how she could always be so alive, so full of joy and hope, and she responded simply, I choose to be this way. I choose it. She says, I had no choice about living the last half of my life as a widow, I have no choice that my son was killed in the Korean War, and I certainly did not choose to have to ride around in this wheelchair for the past 10 years. But one thing I did choose was to be happy. I decided to make the best of every day and to see the best in every person. Isn't that how God means for us to live our lives? Now, I realize that not all of us can be as disciplined as Ken, or have those genetics, or as determined as Mrs. S to have a positive attitude. But that is what grace is all about. When Paul writes that God has chosen us in Him before the creation of the world to be His children, holy and blameless in His sight, God knew that we would never be holy enough and we would never be blameless enough. We just can't do it. But through His love, that is how God sees us, saved by Jesus, perfect in His eyes. That is how God hopes we will be. God only wants the very best for each and every one of us. A life of health and wholeness, physical, emotional, relational, spiritual. That is the path that leads to the very best life possible. We might call it abundant life. And what we need most to see is that there is one choice that we need to make that makes all the other choices easier to make. And that is to choose Christ. To choose Jesus to come into your life and begin to work on you and help you change and have that abundant life. So we begin this morning by asking if you're a polar bear. And of course, you're all polar bears here this morning. You've been chosen before creation to be God's child, part of God's own family. Psychologists John Grinder and Richard Bandler tell an interesting story about a polar bear. It seems that years ago, the Denver Zoo acquired a polar bear. And they were going through a major renovation. They were going to build this nice naturalistic setting, as zoos are learning to do now, instead of putting in little small cages. The bear could be able to swim and go in and out and be cool. Unfortunately, the polar bear arrived at the zoo before this naturalistic enclosure was able to be built. They meant that they had to put it in a cage until the new grand environment was ready, a small cage. The cage he was put in temporarily was just big enough for the polar bear to take three steps one way, stand up, turn around, and take three steps back the other way. And he just did this all day long. Three steps this way, three steps the other way. The polar bear spent many, many months in that cage with those bars that restricted his behavior, his walking, his freedom. Eventually, the large naturalistic environment into which they could release the polar bear was built. So they sedated him, took the cage off, and then when he woke up, can you guess what he did? The polar bear walked three steps, stood up, turned around, and walked three steps back, even though he's got this beautiful, nice, big environment built just for him. The polar bear was no longer caged, but the polar bear was not yet free. There's a difference. Could it be that this describes your life in any way? You may no longer be caged, but you still don't feel free. It doesn't have to be that way. You were chosen to be a child of the Almighty God. God has provided an open door by which you can escape the cage of hopelessness, despair, worry, dread. And that door is simply a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not done so yet, accept Him. Let Him set you free. May God bless you. Amen.